So welcome back to Untangled, the podcast that takes the complex world of compliance and simplifies it. The topic for today's chat is speak up culture, probably the most forgotten element that has largely been about checking a regulatory box for many years. So when speak up programs were first implemented, the most popular method of capturing incident reports was a literal telephone hotline, and that's why many companies still utilize that terminology and philosophy. And as we are today and in the modern days, I'm curious to get from my friends and contributors a perspective how to make a speak up culture a true feature of the program.
So shall I kick off then? So I think from my perspective, one of the things to get really clear initially is that we have moved on from that time when speak up was literally about the hotline. It was about whistleblowers, it was about reports, it was about anonymity, which yes, is an element of your speak up program, but I think is actually one of the least important as far as creating a speak up culture is concerned. So when I think about speak up, I think of it in its true broadest sense. It's about creating an environment where you're open to people bringing ideas forward about anything, about challenging ways of thinking, because unless people feel comfortable doing those things, they're never going to tell you when there's a problem. So, you know, reporting a problem is at the end of the line. You want to start your speak up culture at the beginning.
From my perspective, when we say culture, what do we mean? We mean something that's normal. So what is deemed normal? And to the previous point, you know, is it deemed normal to speak up about any particular issue that you may have, you know, let alone a compliance issue? Is challenge celebrated? Is dissent celebrated? Is it there to be treasured or not? They're key parts of the general culture within the organization.
But that's where, guys, you talk about the culture and value that is relevant for the whole organization. What I'm trying to get is it the role of compliance then to develop that culture aspect within the organization, or it actually should be more within organizational model, HR, and things like that?
So I think it starts with the top. We hear that term tone at the top a lot. And what does that really mean? It doesn't mean just saying, oh, you need to think about integrity when you're making a decision, or you need to make the right decision, or we as a company will act ethically. It's more than that. It's about creating an environment where people feel safe to share ideas, safe to challenge when they think that something's not right, and when something goes wrong, safe to put their hands up and say it's gone wrong. And there's some really good examples out there. We can look at Boeing. I forget the number of the plane, but the MAX. When you look at the report from that, the failures were evident. I think everybody who's read the report knows technically what went wrong. But when you look at the environment that people were operating within, people weren't able to actually say, there's a problem here. The leadership within the organization stopped that. They actually stopped looking at safety as a primary factor and looked at trying to get delivery of the aircraft out quicker. So another example would be the Challenger shuttle disaster. Again, an environment where people couldn't share their concerns. So it starts at the top. It starts with creating that environment for people to feel safe to actually say, I think there's a problem here.
And I think to your point about should this be HR, should it be compliance? Yes, it should be both. It should be all. I think it's a question of leadership, and that is across all functions. So that's, you know, as Jim says, the tone from the top of senior leaders, but it's actually everywhere. Culture isn't created by one function alone. It is, to Alex's point, it's what we do around here. And what we do is based around what everybody does across the business.
Okay, so on that, because I don't want us to go too philosophical about the speak up and challenger disaster and all of those things, but in terms of compliance function and compliance program, what are your best practical tips of how to build up that element so it actually makes sense and it moves the needle of creating the culture within the organization?
So for me, and it links back to that previous point about who's responsible, which is you have to get visible and consistent input from your management in the organization. So whilst the program activities may be under the purview of compliance, and maybe we do the training, etc., but it's about getting more than just a cursory nod from senior leadership to your program. They have to be part of it. They have to be embedded within that, and it has to be a continuous sort of reminder to the business. It's not good enough for them just to say once in one business update, oh, this important thing is here and it's coming your way. They have to be part of it. So for example, with some of the sessions that we run different training for managers than we do for employees who don't have a line management responsibility. And what we're trying to do is to get those managers and the leaders all the way up the organization to be part of that discussion and rollout, because their visibility and their buy-in is what has an impact on the employee base. We have lots of feedback that, you know, they say, well, we know you take it, you know, you take it seriously in compliance. Does leadership? Well, that's how you demonstrate that leadership also sees it that way.
And I think a lot of leaders, particularly in organizations where speaking up or psychological safety haven't been top of the agenda, they're not comfortable. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to start that dialogue with their teams. So I think it's important that HR, compliance and leaders come together and provide kits, talking points. How do you actually do that? How do you run sessions with your teams to create that environment where they do feel safe and secure to challenge, to raise flags, and when things go wrong, to put their hands up?
And I think building on from that, you know, with the toolkits, where we've focused is that we've broadened the speak up into speak up, listen up. Because the point is, if you've got people telling you that there's a problem, they need to know that they're being heard. So actually, some of those toolkits are about how do you listen effectively? How do you show that you have the time and you want to hear this stuff? Because those behaviours, again, some of them need to be practised and learned, not because people aren't interested and don't want to listen, but how do you demonstrate? It's that active listening. You know, you're listening to understand, not listening to respond.
And I assume the next step is how you take action out of that. So you actually manage the reports and you give the feedback both to the person who have delivered that report and perhaps to the broader organization, right? And that's where I want to take a bit of a different tack and get your perspective about celebrating failures or being open about certain things that happen internally. Because normally when, or as far as it's going to get to being discussed as a reportable thing, you would normally have someone from legal saying, oh, we can't put this in writing because it's potentially a discoverable document, or we can't talk about this in a meeting because we don't want to be perceived like we failed in something, right? Because leaders don't always like being seen as something has failed. So how do you manage that part of the actionability from the speak up report?
So I think there's two things here that I've certainly seen work in the past. One is actually getting your investigation teams out in the market so that people have a face to that. Surveys that we see, or I've seen in the past certainly, suggest that people are concerned that they don't think there's anything going to happen if they report something, that the organisation won't respond. So having people go out into the market who are actually the ones who would receive those reports and do something about them and explain the process and being transparent and sharing what we actually do with that when we receive them, that helps to build those bridges and to break down the barriers that people see to reporting in the first place. In terms of sharing reports, I think we have to accept that there are going to be some situations where we simply can't go into the detail because it's privileged, because it's too sensitive. But that doesn't stop us being creative and creating case studies that are based on similar facts. And then we can actually say aspects of this have happened. So it's still going to be a discussion with legal, but it may be easier for them to swallow and yet still emphasize the point that these things can happen in our organizations and indeed have happened.
And we have to be the champions, if you will, of speak up during and after an investigation. So certainly if someone's spoken up and blown the whistle, we have to make sure they're protected, treated in the right way, kept confidential and everything else. And one of the most powerful things to make sure people do as well is leaders, when they're in a town hall or other situation, talk about their times that they've failed. And I know we've spoken about that on a previous podcast, but that real life sharing of stories where leaders admit their failure, again, that's one of the most powerful kind of cultural. One of the most corrosive, to give the opposite view as well, it shouldn't be underestimated how the impact of an investigation on the employee, you know, if they're not heard, if they're not treated properly, if the outcome is improper, that will spread within a group. You know, and that can be incredibly corrosive to speak up culture.
Yeah, I personally find that a bit toxic, right? When everyone knows something went wrong, when everyone gossip about what has happened to the person who suddenly decided to pursue other opportunities outside of the company, but no one recognizes that, right? No one acknowledges the mistake, and that begs the question then within the rest of the organization, is it working, right? Are those speak-up posters worth anything, right? Where we stand as the company. So on that point of managing the people, right, who come up with reports or who participate in compliance reviews as witnesses, they've been called, how do you ensure that they are comfortable to come forward and that their interests are actually protected?
I think part of that is about showing, you know, examples. As Jim said, if you can show on an ongoing basis and be open and honest about how these processes are managed, you don't have to go into the specifics, but just to say there is a process, this is how it happens, this is who's involved, so that when it, if and when it comes to that point that somebody is involved, it's not a kind of unknown situation. They kind of know what to expect. They're still going to be out of their comfort zone, of course they are, but at least they can say, oh, well, this is a routine practice, standardized process. Certain things are going to happen and they're predictable. It's not some sort of, you know, random off the hoof panic situation where everything's unpredictable and I don't know what's going to happen to me. So I think that's important. And the other thing, I mean, much to the point about how do you get leaders to sort of step up and do their bit and providing them with toolkits, is also having those tools and reference points available to your employee base that again help to walk them through the process. So for example, we have like a one pager, we call them the job aids in our company, and it's kind of what's going to happen. You know, it's literally one page, what happens if I raise a report, and it just kind of runs through the basic steps and says what they can expect to happen, who would be involved, and obviously really reinforces the non-retaliation point. We also have those similar job aids on, well, what is retaliation, what does it look like, and if I think I've suffered it, what do I do? So And I know often that can be a contentious point, because, you know, you're giving people a list of what constitutes retaliation, you're going to suddenly make people claim retaliation. That's not the point. And I think you have to come at this from a positive viewpoint. If you're trying to encourage that speak up culture, you have to acknowledge that some of this is difficult, some of it ends in really challenging circumstances, but that we have mechanisms in place to protect people as much as we can.
So another topic I want to address quickly, as we are on technology, right? So how many of you still have a phone line you can call compliance? And if there are other technology means to foster the speak up culture, what else would you suggest be used?
So we have a phone line. We also have like web-based reporting, which I think both of those things are pretty standard. The other thing that we're looking at the moment is app-based reporting. So having another way. You know, everybody has their mobile phone with them. Particularly, I mean, you hear lots of reports, lots of data these days about how people don't like to talk on the phone. People don't like to make phone calls. I won't make any generational sweeping generalizations there. But it does seem to be the case that often people don't really want to talk on the phone. So finding other ways for people to report the information through something like through an app, which is, you know, what we all use every day and everybody's very familiar with. So it just, again, it adds a level of comfort to this. Feels like a familiar process because it's done in the way that I order my pizza or I buy my train tickets.
So another way that I think is quite common in most organisations when we learn of things is through ex-employees. And actually the exit interview process can sometimes help us understand that. But I think it's important when we do hear of concerns as people are leaving that we also try to understand why they didn't raise those concerns earlier. Because if they're heading out of the organization, it may be that they're no longer worried about retaliation. And if retaliation is the problem, then we need to do more to reinforce our anti-retaliation positions.
But in the same sense, I always say, if you want to get another side of speak up culture, go and read reviews on Glassdoor, right? Or any other site like that, right? If you're in the pharma world, there are plenty of threads on Cafe Pharma that explain what the companies are, what the managers are, and you can actually find quite a few intricate details in that setting, right? And I think the whole idea of speak up culture is to make sure that all those incidents and challenges, they are raised internally and they are discussed internally, because then you can have a plan to deal with them, right? If it all stays silent internally but ends up in the public domain on anonymous website, that means that there is a problem.
And I think that's a really important point, or a really important point linked to that, is making sure that people understand that it's not just about detecting misconduct, but actually as an organization, we want to improve, we want to get things right, and we want to stop things that shouldn't happen from happening. And the only way we do that is by people sharing their concerns with us, or certainly one way that we do that is by people sharing those concerns with us.
Yeah, and I think just to take that a little bit further, I would disagree with your point about what speak up culture is for, because a speak up culture actually is to prevent those issues happening in the first place. If you've got a really good speak up culture where people feel that they can challenge an idea, they can question, they can, you know, say, hold on a second, have we thought of X, then actually you're going to get better decisions in the first place, and you're not going to get those issues come to the point that you need a hotline or you need an investigation. So really the ultimate goal of a good speak up culture is that nobody calls your hotline because you haven't got any issues. And I know that sounds like a panacea and probably somewhere that none of us will ever get to, but that's what I think about when I think about creating a speak up culture.
And linked to that, I'm sure we can all point to lots of examples where the misconduct that we've had to investigate actually started as someone making a mistake, and they didn't feel comfortable sharing that mistake, so then they did something worse to try and cover it up. And
it's the cover-up.
Someone we all know once said to me that it's the cover-up, that's when people get caught, but actually it's the cover-up also that sometimes lead people to getting terminated, to losing their jobs, when if we had created the right environment in the first place, they would have been able to put their hands up and we as an organization wouldn't have been as exposed to risk.
Yeah, we all have seen those cases, I'm sure. And that's why I think I still believe speak up culture is a very general value that needs to be managed by the organization and leadership, not just by compliance function. There is quite a lot of work and effort compliance can do to pioneer that within the company. So I hope you find these conversations interesting. Please share your comments and thoughts on LinkedIn or elsewhere. I appreciate your time today, guys, and we'll see you next week.